One couldn't begin to describe St. Iberius Wexford, which we now visit on our virtual tour, as we remember the year 1969. That wonderful church, which is wide rather than long, which is so associated with not just parish worship, but cultural events in lively Wexford, the Opera Festival, which sits cheek by jowl with the central street of the town, so that people pass in and out of the shopping and business life of the town so readily. And in a particular way, we think of the Christmas fast on its steps, which every year is nobly undertaken by the Roman Catholic and Church of Ireland clergy in Wexford. And in this difficult year, as they raise money that way for good causes, we wish them a generous response. We wish them well. Back to 1969, the year of moon landings. There would be, of course, in Ireland so much to say as the North explodes. I can still remember Bernadette Devlin, as she then was known, on the news, shouting through a megaphone in the bogside in Derry, "If this goes on, someone will be killed." Ominous words. And there was Jack Lynch's famous broadcast that the Irish government can no longer stand by and see innocent people injured and perhaps worse. He didn't, by the way, say stand idly by, although it's often said that he did. But things were moving towards, frankly, a level of mayhem. I haven't talked much recently about what was going on meanwhile in the life of the Church of Ireland itself, but in July 1969, George Sims was elected Archbishop of Armagh. It was a dreadfully challenging situation for a gentle Celtic scholar who'd only very briefly been a parish rector. He was someone who'd had nearly all his experience south of the border and had found his way to Armagh via the dioceses of Cork and Dublin. Yet Sims was perhaps among the greatest figures of the 20th century Church of Ireland. He radiated tranquility and holiness. He moved deftly and comfortingly in the midst of mayhem and tragedy. He was a pastor par excellence who seemed to know everyone. He always found the perfect word of prayer, but was never glib. He never lost his humour or his charm. He was respected across every division. His wife, Mercy, whom I've mentioned before, was an Italian scholar, but also a champion of the underdog and one of the first real voices for the travelling community in Ireland. When he retired to Dublin in 1980 as an honorary fellow of Trinity College Dublin and devoted himself to scholarship and writings on spirituality and even a television series on ancient Irish manuscripts, he seemed to have grown beyond his denomination and became truly a national treasure, which is a rare thing to say of a Church of Ireland bishop. He was also a predecessor of mine as chaplain in Trinity College, and I movingly in 1991 was, I think, the last person to share lunch with him before he succumbed to a sudden illness, which sometime afterwards brought his life in this world to an end. And I'm personally glad to have a chance to give thanks for every memory of him and to be one of those countless individuals whose lives he, and this was one of his favourite words, whose lives he enriched.